welcome to American Conservative Party Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm Bill.
We're going to host you tonight. Bill, I wanted to bring up Mars again because we're building to a little bit of a crescendo coming up here in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we
are. The Tea Parties are exploding everywhere.
Everywhere. It's cool. In fact, there's a couple of websites out there that you can go to, Google or whatever your favorite search engine is, put in Tea Party, and you will find them all over this country.
Let's spend some. I want to spend some time talking about Tea Parties today, later on this evening,
mm-hmm.
and not just that they're happening, but why, what, how,
yeah.
who. All that other good stuff. Tonight, I wanted to start off. I posted a blog yesterday, post on my blog, Moderate Mainstream. And I was getting really tired, and it was kind of a theme that I suggested a week or so ago with the AIG bailouts and all the people screaming about the bonuses.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was getting really, really pissed off at conservatives because, you know, frankly, it's none of our business. There's a whole lot of people that are going to say, well, they took our money. Oh, bullshit. You know, yes, they got our money, but, you know, shareholders don't get any more of a say in what goes on in the day-to-day operations of a business than we should have in the day-to-day operations of a business.
That's
and
right.
Let me tell you, generally speaking, we are a bunch of idiots when it comes to running somebody else's business.
Yes.
And if you want any example of how stupid people can be about running another person's business, listen to Obama and Geithner talk about GM.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Apparently, GM doesn't make any good cars. Apparently, the Hummer sucks.
Yep.
Apparently, the Volt sucks. Apparently, SUVs suck.
Yep.
Apparently, Greek cars suck.
Yep.
I don't know what Geithner and Obama want GM to produce, but whatever it is, it's going to be better cars than they're producing now.
Maybe it's rickshaws.
Hey. It could be. Could be.
Yeah,
it might be one of those things. You know, it just drives me bonkers, this idea that we, because a company gets government money, should have say in how that company gets run. Invest in it, take the risk like everybody else. If the risk fails, so be it. If the risk pays off, great. But it doesn't give government the right to step in and decide what should be done in a private organization's business. It is no different than government sending off a Social Security check to my parents and then wanting to come in and see exactly what is in my parents' pantry. Are they overspending on soup?
Do they have too much bacon?
You know, come on. This is ridiculous. Absolutely pathetic. And conservatives should know better.
Yes, they should. Absolutely.
This is my last comment, last paragraph of that post. Capitalism, like freedom, is messy. Too many conservatives have forgotten and have looked at their 401ks and home values, and quietly, hopefully, they have encouraged the Obamas and the Geithners and the Bernankes to succeed so that they will not have to suffer from risk they wanted to benefit from, but also be protected against.
Exactly.
Choice has consequences. Demand to be protected from those consequences, and you lose the freedom of choice.
Yep.
If
it's
you want
a really
to take a
simple
risk,
equation.
If you want to take a risk, and your 401ks, how you invest in them, that's a risk. You want to invest in a home? That's a risk. You take the benefits and the risks. If you want government to step in and protect you from those risks, then you shouldn't be making the investments in the first place.
Exactly. I mean, it really is about peaks and valleys. Yes, you can chop off the peaks, but you have to fill in the valleys if you do that. And so consequently, if you say, I believe in my own research, if I believe in my own judgment that this is an acceptable risk for me, then why is anybody saying to you, oh no, you can't do that because some poor person down here doesn't have the smarts, the judgment, the cognizance to be able to adequately judge those risks, and therefore we must protect them, and the only way we can protect them is to make sure that you cannot profit from your own judgment.
You know, those who give up liberty for security shall have neither.
Exactly. Ben Franklin was a wonderfully wise man.
You know, I want to suggest to you that wisdom seems to have disappeared from a vast majority of our social life, because I think I suggested to you that I finished reading Thomas Paine's Common Sense about a week and a half ago.
Everybody ought to read that.
It should be necessary reading. And also, John Stuart Mill on Liberty. People should be paying attention to that. I am reading some Rousseau. I am reading Jefferson. I am reading Madison at this point. I am delving into the wisdom of our founding fathers, of people that began this country and fought to make it be what it is.
Yes.
And there is so much of what Thomas Paine wrote that is absolutely great. I'm only going to quote two parts of it tonight. The first one is the very first paragraph in the introduction. Listen carefully, because wisdom is timeless, and here is a piece of that wisdom. Perhaps the sentiments contained in the following pages are not yet sufficiently fashionable to procure them general favor. A long habit of not thinking a thing wrong gives it a superficial appearance of being right, and raises at first a formidable outcry in defense of custom. But the tumult soon subsides. Time makes more converts than reason.
Isn't that wonderful?
This idea that as long as you don't complain about something being wrong, it seems to give it, you know, a rightness about it. Well,
yes. You
know, if nobody's complaining that it's wrong, it must be okay. And that is what we have been doing as conservatives for most of the last, 70 years or so.
Yes, indeed.
We have been willing to accept government interference in the markets. And it's wrong.
Absolutely wrong. It
you
is.
Know, people are
it is legally
about,
wrong. It is morally wrong.
It is, you know, simply a matter of degree as far as people are concerned. Well, it's a cardinal sin, not a a violation. What was it? Victoria was watching a show about people that got busted for speeding going into court to defend themselves.
Yes.
And a guy got ticketed for doing 11 miles over the speed limit, and his argument was he was only doing 8.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, you know, what he's saying is, yes, I violated the law, but I didn't do it by much.
Yeah, right.
You know, Geithner is doing and Obama's doing. Yeah, we're violating the Constitution, but not by much.
by just a little bit.
Just a little. 7 billion. You know, 70 billion.
Yeah.
100 billion.
A trillion.
Yeah.
7 trillion. You know, it's only a matter of degree. You know, don't blame us. We're only doing it a little bit more than the last guy.
That's exactly right.
And we, as conservatives, for a very, very long time, have been perfectly willing to do it. And that was part of what really got me going with my post, with this idea that too many conservatives, you know, they don't want big bailouts. You know, they don't want the AIGs bailed out. They don't want the GMs bailed out.
They want just bailout little bailouts.
Me. Yeah, just bail out me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need a lot. Give me $100,000. GM needs $100 billion. I just need $100,000. Give me $100,000.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It is absolutely driving me crazy, and it is something that I argued extensively with people most of last year, the idea that, well, you don't understand what the failure of AIG would mean. Yeah, I do, and you don't.
Exactly. Exactly.
Too many people, you know, bought into the idea that, well, if AIG fails, the whole financial system fails, and you know what that means. Yeah, I know what it means, but you don't. You
exactly.
think what it means is that people will be wandering the streets, destitute, homeless, starving. Nothing will be going on because we will all of a sudden simply cease producing.
And that is so untrue.
You know,
I mean, it is
the banks fail, tough shit.
Exactly.
The biggest people, right now, if the entire financial system crashes, every single bank crashes to the ground, the biggest losers are the people that hate capitalism most.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Duh!
Exactly right.
Duh! Let's see, the princess in Saudi Arabia will be broke.
Oh my gosh.
My heart bleeds. My heart bleeds. Oh,
yeah.
Painful. Oh, come
Throw
on.
Me in that briar patch.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, yes, we will have significant problems if our financial system collapses.
Oh, sure.
Significant problems. Let me see. We closed financial institutions in the markets for 2 days in September of 2001.
Yes.
Everything kind of got shut down for 3 days.
Yep.
World didn't collapse. Production still happened.
Mm-hmm.
I still ate. You ate. I'm sure
yep.
we still had electricity.
Yep.
Those things kind of continue to happen. You know, if the world comes to an end tomorrow, we will have wasted a significant amount of time on petty, stupid, ridiculous junk.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, here
yes.
is what Thomas Paine said just one page later. Here, then, is the origin and rise of government. Namely, a mode rendered necessary by the inability of moral virtue to govern the world.
Mm.
This is really important for conservatives to understand. Really important to conservatives. Many people have told me, you know, it was Madison that said the Constitution is for a moral people.
People, yes.
Many people suggest that that means what we need to do is enforce morality on people.
Mm.
Duh.
Yeah.
Duh. Okay, no.
Nope.
People have to be moral. They have to make that choice in and of themselves. Government cannot make that choice for them. It cannot impose upon them. But
Actually,
it is a recognition, Paine recognized, that we cannot, as a great society, behave morally. There are just too many people that are willing to be amoral.
Yes.
Let me rephrase that. There are too many people in the world willing to be immoral. I am amoral. as far as most people are concerned, but I am not immoral.
Right.
The distinction is kind of important. I'm not going to get too carried away by it, but the reality is people, there are too many people that are immoral in the world, and they are behaving in a way that is consistent with their morality.
Yes.
There is a significant population of Muslims, not so many in this country, most of them in other countries, that have a moral system that is the antithesis to our freedom and liberty in this country.
Yes.
It is, by all criteria, a viable and acceptable moral system to more than a billion people.
Yes, it is.
If this country wants to be run by a moral system, and many of them become Muslim, it would be perfectly reasonable for this country to be governed by that Muslim moral system.
Yes, it would.
And it would be the end of this country.
Yes, it would.
As a woman and an agnostic and in a gay relationship, I'm dead. Three times over.
Yes, you are.
Muslims from the Middle East would kill me, and then they would kill me, and then when they were done, they would kill me again.
Yes, they would.
And I know the fact that they would do all three of them. Okay. The reason I bring that up is because it's important for people to understand that the moral issue, the moral hazard that has become dominant in our system has been thrown out the door. Obama and his administration have said, and the Bush administration before them, that moral hazard is an academic point of view too damaging to our economy to be allowed to actually exist.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we can ignore moral hazard because it is too damaging. Moral hazard doesn't exist in the current administration's thinking. In the Fed, the Treasury, and the administration, moral hazard is not an issue. So when conservatives say, we have to pay attention to the moral hazard, BS, nobody else is paying attention to it. It's gone, out the door. It's an academic thing, so forget arguing it. They're not paying attention to it. This is the problem that Paine saw, that Madison saw, in that not moral people could be in control and acting in a way that people are perfectly happy with. And our Constitution can't protect us from it.
No, it cannot.
We have to be that moral people, not imposed by a constitution, not imposed by law, not even imposed by society. It has to be a choice that we make that we are going to be those moral people. That is where I started with Thomas Paine and Common Sense and where I ended up yesterday in my post. So my comment, my demand at this point is that if you want to protest being that you are in fact conservative, then there should be no bailouts. None. Zero. To anybody for any reason.
Yes.
It is wrong for the federal government. It's wrong for the state governments, but it is certainly wrong for the federal governments to be stepping in to save any private entity, whether it be individuals or corporations. I would argue it is unconstitutional for them to do so.
Yes.
So, I'm going to bring in somebody who wants to talk to us, who has called in. I recognize the number, but I'm going to let them say who they are and what's on their mind, caller.
Hi.
There he is.
Well, I could be Butch Porter, but I'm not.
Yeah. No, I knew it was you, Rick.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Doing well, Bill. How are you, sir?
I'm well.
Good, good. Well, I've been listening with rapt attention to the talking here and the very interesting points that bringing in Thomas Paine there. It's dead on the money. We shouldn't be bailing anybody out. I mean, if anybody needs to be bailed out, it's our own government. They're
no,
the ones that are really in
trouble.
Thrown
overboard. No bailing, just throw.
Well, let's throw them out and start over again then. Because, I mean, they're the ones that are the problem, right? As it stands right now, the government is the problem. It's not whether or not GM is going to make it through the next 60 days or whether AIG has been given more money than the company's actually worth. It's all got to do with what our government is doing right now as opposed to what they're supposed to be doing. And they're not supposed to be doing what they're doing. So
right. But too many people want them to be doing it.
And
too many of those people are on our side.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I can, you know, you can place a lot of blame for that. You know, blame anybody, really, but whose fault is it? It's our fault. We've let it come to this.
It is absolutely positively our fault. It has been, and I made this argument repeatedly last year, I am as much to blame as anybody for abdicating my responsibility as an American citizen to do what I'm supposed to be doing. And
right.
I'm done with that. But at the same token, it means that I'm either all in or I'm just playing a game with, you know, degrees. And I'm not interested in playing a game with degrees. You know,
right.
I'm all in. I'm all in conservative. Okay? I'm all in for our Constitution. I'm all in for the Founding Fathers' desire to have this country be about liberty and freedom, individual rights and personal responsibility. And if that's the case, then there is no half measures. There is no, well, you can't be all in because, you know, look at the damage that would be. Tough! The damage has to occur. Frankly, we have done so much bad things that the only choice is to, well, I was going to suggest lopping off the head,
yeah,
the body. Yeah, you know, we have allowed, you know, the infection to come in and spread into such a way is that maybe, the only real possibility is that gangrene has set in and we need to lop it off.
Well, you know, the other thing about that is, who is it that actually gets hurt? It isn't, frankly, it is not John and Jane Doe, United States of America, that gets hurt. It's the national funds of Saudi Arabia and Europe and China. It isn't John and Jane Doe of America. Those are not the people that get hurt. Those aren't the people that because of the collapse of the AIGs and the Lehman Brothers and all of those people, those aren't the people that get hurt. It is the sovereign funds that get hurt. And somebody said, oh, God, we can't let that happen. But you know what, folks? We could let that happen. They took their risks. In the good times, they took the income, and now they don't want to get hurt. I'm sorry, doesn't work that way.
Right. Capitalism has risk.
Exactly.
And if you want to participate in capitalism, you take upon yourself that risk. And too many people that hate capitalism have done very, very well participating in it.
Oh, yeah. They raked in the big bucks, folks.
right,
exactly.
Look, Case Shiller is a organization that puts out, it follows housing prices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, it has a 10 city and a 20 city factor. And one of the things I was reading today was home prices in the country have fallen back to about 2003 levels.
Okay.
Well, that's, I don't know about you, but in 2003, I liked the price of my house.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I would have made
now,
money.
You gotta understand, I'm in a lot. At 2003, I'm underwater at this point.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
You know, but that is the market. You know,
yes, it is.
2003 isn't a terrible thing. Nobody is saying, well, housing prices have fallen to 1930 levels. Okay, now I've got a particular problem, but I can tell you who's in a lot bigger trouble if my house is back down to 1930 levels. The banks.
Yes, they are. And actually, not even the banks.
Right, because they don't own my mortgage anymore.
That's right.
By the way, my first mortgage is held by IndyMac Bank, the first bank that took a dive.
Oh, boy.
So I don't really know who owns my mortgage. It's off somewhere in La La Land.
Yeah. It's probably Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, but...
No, I don't know, because... I am one of those terrible people that have driven our economy to the brink of destruction. I am a subprime mortgage holder.
Oh, my God.
So, although I have made my mortgage payment every single month for the last 6.5 years,
mm-hmm,
without being late once, I am one of those horrible, nightmarish people.
Oh, boy. You're one of those low-class tranches.
That's right. I'm one of those low-class tranches.
Yep.
That's me, low-class. Or, as some people would suggest, no-class.
All right.
Okay. All right. Now, let's get into this a little bit.
Okay.
Don't spend my grandson's paycheck. He's only 2 years old. With Obama in the White House, his future's bought and sold. Stop this immoral spending spree. Stop assaulting our liberty. Let me help you comprehend. It ain't your money to spend.
All right. We are going to talk about tea parties.
Yay, tea parties!
All right.
Now, I am going to reiterate to everybody that when the Tea Party movement began, my first question was, why?
Okay.
My second question was, who? The who has pretty much been taken care of because it's pretty much everybody on the right wants to get involved in a Tea Party.
Yep.
But my original question still stands, why? The original Tea Party, which happened before this country became a country,
mm-hmm,
was to protest tax.
Yes, specifically on tea.
A tax against the colonies by the king that they felt was unfair.
Yes, they did.
Now, someone should and could make the argument that the current Tea Parties are against the tax being imposed by Obama upon the people.
Yes.
Which tax? I'm open to suggestions. Which tax are the Tea Parties currently suggesting are unfair?
Wrong question, I think.
Well, I've got a suggestion on that.
Fire away.
I think that they're protesting the tax that are going to hit our grandchildren.
Which tax is that?
the one that's going to pay for all these bailouts. And I don't know. I'm not 30 years into the future, so I can't answer that question.
I can. And there's a significant portion of people getting involved in the Tea Parties that will do so for you also. They are objecting to the income tax.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a significant number of people that are joining the Tea Parties that wish to protest against the income tax. Now, I don't know about either of you guys. I have been a pretty strong proponent of the idea of a flat tax for a long time.
Yes.
Remember, since even before Steve Ford suggested it many, 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 many years ago. Because when I was studying economics, a flat tax made perfect sense.
Yes, it did.
So I've been a pretty strong proponent of that, but many of the anti-income tax people are against all income taxes.
Got a problem there.
So, we have an issue. The Tea Parties are bringing out not just good, serious people interested in dealing with the fact that this administration is spending money faster than Obama can turn the thermostat up on the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
And the big push of the Tea Party. They're objecting to how much money Obama is spending. Then you have the farther right people who are objecting to the idea of any government income. Somewhere, we are likely to have at Tea Parties, especially the ones that are getting well organized at this point, a range of people that will appear to be similar to a gathering of the left, where you will have people that are just against everything. You will have some serious right-wing nuts, and you will have some honest-to-goodness, conservative people. I'm concerned that the Tea Parties are turning into exactly what the left did with Obama. Obama was a blank slate, and people put their beliefs and their hopes upon him.
Yes, they did.
The Tea Parties are, I believe, are becoming something similar. Many people on the right are putting their hopes and their beliefs upon what the Tea Parties are going to stand for. And I think we're risking exactly the same result. A lot of people that are going to be disappointed because things are going to get crazy and out of hand.
I have a little bit different take on that.
Fire away.
I think the Tea Parties are a protest against the same kind of thing that King George proposed, which was the autocratic rule of absolute authority. My take on this is that the Tea Parties are saying, wait a minute, yeah, you won the election, but you know what? There is a very sizable portion of this population that is not going to stand for your autocratic, I think I trump that, I won kind of rule. And that goes beyond just taxes. That goes to the Give Act, which incidentally just passed. That goes to the whole idea that, okay, I won, I get to tell everybody that your opinion doesn't count, only my opinion counts, and here's what I'm going to do to you. It is not just about taxes.
Okay. I would suggest to you that you have taken what you see is to be the problem and applied it to the Tea Party template.
Okay.
I don't think everybody agrees with you. I don't think
I'm sure they don't.
I'm not saying that it's necessary that I think everybody does.
Right.
But I do think that is an issue. Now, that said, I am going to participate in the Madison, Wisconsin Tea Party on the 15th. I have joined one of the Tea Party websites, primarily to help support the Wisconsin Tea Parties.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to suggest, and I have started suggesting, that the primary thing that I want out of the Tea Parties, and a lot of people are saying this, is that we want to stand up for the Constitution. We want to say the Constitution is what's important. We want to get back to its criteria for government. And taxing is just a small part of that. Spending is a small part of that. It is this idea that Tim Geithner is going to determine what is an acceptable paycheck for people that just drives people crazy. That doesn't necessarily have to do with taxing. It doesn't have to do with spending. It has certainly everything to do with government interfering with private enterprise. It is government overreach. It is government acting outside of the mandates that the Constitution sets for it. So that's where I want Tea Parties to go. Is this, we can resolve all the other issues if we can get government back into the guidelines of the Constitution. And that's what I'm going to try and do. That's what I am going to be pushing as far as the Tea Party issues that I'm going to participate in. That's where I hope it goes. Because if it focuses on taxing or spending, then I think we've missed the important thing, which is the Constitution, supporting constitutional behavior. That said, I am pretty much along the idea that we should be arguing for two things right now at tea parties. I think we should be saying 1 year freeze on all government spending. Period. Lock it down. Not a penny more. And we should have a 1 year moratorium on federal taxes.
Mm-hmm.
No taxes, lock the spending. Now, Obama absolutely positively will object to that tremendously because that means he's just going to spend the next year sitting in the Oval Office twiddling his thumbs, which, frankly, I don't think that he could actually do. He doesn't strike me as a walk and talk and chew bubblegum at the same time kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are the two things that I would like to see done. All right. What do you want, Bill? You're going to attend a tea party, I'm assuming.
Yep, Redding, California. You betcha. Gonna be there April 15th.
Okay. What are you going to hope to hear? What are you going to say to people when you appear at that thing? What are you going to say? What are you going to tell people you want out of that tea party?
Actually, I'm really going there to promote the American Conservative Party. That's going to be my primary thing, to network, talk with people, get people that are dissatisfied with the current system and chat with them about, okay, what are the alternatives? And then suggest to them that they might want to visit our site, AmericanConservatives.org, or I'm sorry, TheAmericanConservatives.org. I am going to be interested in hearing, number one, who speaks, and two, what do they talk about. If they talk about fiscally conservative things, I'm going to be all ears. If they talk about, well, we need to embrace some parts of this, but, you know, it's really just gone too far, I'm kind of tuning out and saying, wait a second, that isn't what I'm here for. So it's really an opportunity for me to network and say, you know, there are some alternatives, and no, we cannot just be talking about, well, this isn't right, but we need to do something, and there are some portions of this that are good. That's what I'm going for.
Rick?
Hello, Rick.
Rick is now officially at a tea party.
Uh-oh.
That's fine. You know,
Rick left us.
Rick has left the building.
Okay.
I'm going to do pretty much similar things. I am going to talk about ACP. I am going to talk to people about the Constitution. I am going to talk against Obama and his administration doing the things that I think are not constitutional.
Yes.
I am going to argue that we have abdicated our responsibilities, and it is time that we take those responsibilities back upon ourselves and hold our elected representatives at all levels responsible for their behavior. The incumbent Democratic county executive is in the race for her life right now, and I am going to be so happy to see her disappear if, in fact, she loses on our election coming up here next week.
Cool.
We have a pothole conservative running against a big government liberal. And she's not getting lots of help from the local GOP. The local GOP is helping, but not big help. Which is not unusual, because the GOP in this state is a big government GOP. I would like to see her in place. She won't be able to get much done, because she's going to be fighting against, you know, a county board that is heavily against her, supported by a state and local legislatures that are heavily against her. But if it becomes a gridlock and nothing happens, I consider that to be an optimum situation for most government entities. That's why I've always been a pretty big fan of mixed party holding the different levers of power. I've never been a big fan of one party holding all the levers of power. It just isn't to our benefit for that to happen.
Exactly.
Regardless of whether it's Republicans or conservatives, Republicans or Democrats, as the Republicans have quite clearly proven to be anything but conservative.
Yes, absolutely.
I would suggest to you that the Tea Parties can be the first real attempt, I think, for the right, for the conservative movements, to show that it is possible for the right to have a movement, a popular
yes.
movement.
Yes.
I am not... I guess I'm one of those people that I stood accused last year of talking down the economy because I saw the problems that were existing.
Mm-hmm.
when a lot of other people were denying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I perceive similar possible problems with the Tea Parties. I'm not talking them down. I think they could be very beneficial. However, there is a significant risk. Hello? Mouth has ceased to function.
Uh-oh.
A significant risk associated with them being taken over by components of the right that many of us feel are not beneficial to the conservative movement.
You know, I think that the thing that impresses me most about the Tea Parties is that it appears to be a true grassroots kind of a movement. Now,
absolutely. I can't agree with you more.
Maybe it's only a grassroots movement on the right, but nevertheless, they have been mostly spontaneous. Encouraged, absolutely, but supported, no. The RNC doesn't support them, so far as I know, in terms of any monetary things. It is truly folks in a community saying, you know what, we don't like this, and we're going to turn out, and we're going to wave our banners and our placards and our signs and say, we don't like this. We think this is wrong. We believe this to be detrimental to the health of our nation. And to the extent that that is true, that is a good thing.
What I perceive is going to happen, and what concerns me, I have suggested for many years that the average American is conservative.
Yes.
Certainly right center of most political situations.
Yes.
And that those Americans constitute the vast majority of the mainstream of Americans.
Yes. And I think the proof of that is that if you look at the polls, where you see the support really eroding from the current occupant of the White House is among the independents.
Right, but those are also the same people that voted for him.
You ever heard of buyer's remorse?
Yeah, well, that's fine,
yeah.
Except for buyer's remorse has to last 4 years in this country.
Well, actually, it only has to last until November of 2010.
Yeah, well, making him a lame duck for his last... You know, the problem
yep.
with people on the left is that they don't believe in lame duckness on the left. They just become more extreme.
Yeah, that's true, but the more extreme they become, the further they sink.
That's correct. Okay. I'm going to lose my train of thought today.
Uh-oh.
Man, boy, I started off so strong today.
I know. Actually, it started out as a really great day until I started hearing about all of the G20 proclamations and Sarkozy was going to walk out and Obama, bless his heart, went over there with 500-plus people and that kind of stuff. You know, it's kind of like...
I haven't heard anything about the G20 today.
You haven't?
I haven't.
Oh, man. The socialist nations are saying, gosh, America, don't go all socialist on us. I mean, they know where the heck their bread is buttered.
Okay. Right. Okay. Tea Parties. I'm aware of the potential issues. I'm going to... You know, I have argued for a long time. I have argued with Victoria about this for a long time, but she doesn't disagree with me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Gay pride parades are the worst thing in the world for the gay community.
Yes, they are.
Because the only thing that gets on the news is the worst sides of the gay pride parades.
That's right.
You never see PFLAG in those marches, which
nope.
is the parents of children that are gay.
Yeah.
Who seem to be perfectly normal people walking down those parades. In any
yep.
case, I expect that media, mainstream media, has ignored Tea Parties to this point almost completely. I think they're going to have a hard time doing so on the 15th simply because of the number and the likely size of them. But I also believe what the mainstream media is going to do is it's going to find the wackiest, nuttiest, far-right imbeciles that are going to be participating in that, and that process they will use to try and marginalize the entire movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That said, it's going to be up to people like you and me and many of the people that are going to be listening to this to make sure that the reality of what happens actually gets out. With pictures and blog posts and commenting and everything else that's necessary to say this is what really happened down there, so that the message doesn't become it's a bunch of right-wing wackos, but instead it's a right movement
mm-hmm.
towards returning us to things.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm hoping things can go on the 15th. That's where I'm concerned is going to happen on the 15th. That's why I'm concerned some aspects of the Tea Party.
I think that's a valid concern. I mean, you only have to look at the news story came out. Well, actually, it's not a news story. But I guess if the MSM doesn't print it, it isn't a news story.
Right.
But you only have to look at the fact that the New York Times spiked a story in October of 2008 that directly tied Obama's campaign to Acorn. It spiked that story. Now,
of course.
It had run stories from the confidential informant that they had inside of Acorn previously, because it didn't directly tie Obama to Acorn. But they spiked the story that said Obama gave Acorn the maxed out donors to Obama so that they could solicit contributions for them that they could use then to promote Obama. They spiked the story.
Sure.
So
if
anybody believes that the dead tree media is going to put any story forward that contradicts the Messiah, they've got another thing coming. It just isn't going to happen, folks.
Let's talk about something else that went down here today. You've been
okay.
twittering about it. Please feel free to share everybody what you have just twittered.
Oops. Oh. Well, what I twittered was Saratoga County, the official Saratoga County Elections Board site, showed Tedisco up by about 4,000 votes over Murphy. Tedisco is the Republican. He is, by most of the accounts that I've heard, an actual conservative as opposed to only a Republican. And Murphy is the Democrat who are running for Gillibrand's seat that was appointed to the Senate by Governor Patterson of New York. Now, I have to also tell you, though, that there are some Twitters that say, oh, gosh, there's only about a 200-vote difference between them. But the Saratoga County Board of Elections, Office of the Board of Elections in Ballaston Spa, New York, says that Scott Murphy has 25,837 votes. Jim Tedesco has 30,247 votes. That's with 100% of the machines reporting. It doesn't seem likely to me that mail-in absentee ballots are going to make up a 4,500 vote difference.
Well, that would be a good thing to get, take one vote away from Obama.
Yes,
it
would.
If it is, in fact, one vote away.
Yep, I'm hoping.
That would be a good thing. So there are some positive things going on. I haven't talked tonight at all about the economy or the stock market or the markets in general. I have only one thing to say. Most of us spend too much time paying attention to it and too little time paying attention to the more important things in life called family.
Yes.
I've had the opportunity. My business tends to be a little bit cyclical when it comes to the month. I will start getting really busy again next week and will be busy for the middle weeks of the month. But right now at the end of the month, I'm calm and quiet, and I had some time to spend with family this
week. Oh, that's excellent, Tracy.
Yes. I actually want, Victoria said, what do you want to watch tonight? And I said, I don't know what's on TV on Monday nights. I haven't been here for weeks.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So,
even if it is Tuesday night.
Well, this was last night. Tonight, I was right here, and I had plans for being right here. So I had the opportunity this weekend to kind of relax a little bit, spend some time with family, and I am going to formally announce we're moving.
I heard that. Going to San Diego is what I heard.
I'm coming out your way, Bill.
Hey, we could always use another conservative in California.
San Diego, here I come.
All
right. Things will work out over the course of the next several months. And we will be moving sometime over the summer. CJ graduates from 8th grade in June. She will be starting high school in September. So we figured that's probably a pretty good time to make the move. And my business is doing well enough that it looks like Victoria is going to be able to retire.
Excellent.
And therefore, we are not tied to Wisconsin anymore. Now, to all of my friends here, WisconsinConservativeParty.org in Wisconsin, don't worry. I'm still going to be an active voice for the time being, and we're going to hope that we pick up members that will pick up some of the slack.
Exactly.
And see what's going on. In the meantime, I'm going to enjoy one more evening of peace and quiet, and then business will start going on. However, next week is spring break for CJ.
Oh, boy.
I will be able to sleep in an extra half hour before the dogs wake me up to go outside.
Yeah. If it isn't the kid, it's the dog, right?
Yeah. And I'll go down and visit my parents again and see them for the Easter weekend.
Yes, good.
So, Bill.
Yes.
Have a good evening.
You also. Say hello to CJ for me.
People, theamericanconservatives.org. Please visit the website. Join in. Get involved with the Tea Parties. Let people know what's going on. Remember, conservatism is not just a lifestyle. It's a principle.
Yes, it is.
Bill, have a good evening.
Tracy,
you
also. Okay. Take care.
We're done.
All righty. Good show. That was all right. I wonder what in the world happened to Rick.
I was here the whole time.
Oh, Rick.
Oh, no, you weren't.
We
called for you.
I had my phone on mute because I had a plane going over.
Oh.
I said hello when I was done, but you were talking. You were on a roll, so I let you go.
All righty.
We'll catch you next week.
Okay.
Bill, it just drove me crazy. I just got completely, about 15 minutes left in the show, and I'm sitting there like going,
Now what?
It wasn't so much now what as I completely lost my train of thought. I have my notes in front of me about what I wanted to talk about, but it's just, it's not big chunks. It's just note things.
Sure. Yeah.
And I just, it just went, everything went, disappeared. CJ came down right around that, about 10 minutes before that, and she looked at me and she goes, I have to go to bed. I need help with my homework. What are you doing? And I'm sitting there like, show's on. She goes,
Yeah, right.
And,
I know.
Now, all of that was in pantomime because you were talking at the time.
Okay.
But, it absolutely threw me off.
It happens. I get that too. Something happens around here and I'm saying, okay, where was I? What was I doing? What was I talking about?
Finished strong last week.
Yep.
We started strong this week.
Yep.
That's fine. I'm not too worried about it.
Can you tell how many people were listening?
Give me half a second and I will pull it up. Because I need to set it for archived episodes. Wow. We're back up. We had 17 live callers. That was almost triple from last week.
Wow.
Which
callers
was,
or listeners?
No, listeners.
Okay.
We went 9. Of the last 5 weeks, we went 19, 20, 12, 6. These are live.
Okay.
So we were doing really well the first part of the month, and then it tapered off, and then we got down to 6 last week, which was pretty small,
mm-hmm.
and then we're back up to 17. That's a good push. We didn't have a lot of callers, obviously,
Actually, I'm getting some feedback because I'm posting when I get the reminder of the show.
Yeah.
I go to that site and then I copy that URL and then I post it on Twitter and on CT Conservative Talk. And the folks that I'm hearing back from are telling me that isn't working.
Well, TK usually posts.
I'm not. Go ahead.
TK usually posts it up when the shows get ready to start, too.
Yeah, I didn't see him tonight, but I don't know that.
Right.
I didn't see him at all tonight. I haven't seen him in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So he's not talking. He's usually on at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's not talking anything about us anymore. As a matter of fact, kind of drifted away.
Really?
That still doesn't
solve my problem of that link apparently isn't working when I posted on Twitter and on CT because Arkansas Traveler can't pick it up on Twitter. A couple of my folks on Conservative Talk can't. Can't go in. Hang on here. I can tell you what they told me. It's an execute error displays and cuts them off.
So next week I'll see what happens.
Pardon me?
Next week I'll try it. I'll try to post a link up and see what happens.
Okay.
A link up onto where?
I'll post it on my Twitter account.
Oh, okay. Are you on Twitter, Rick?
Yeah.
How come I'm not following you?
I don't know. Tracy was my first follower.
What's your Twitter name?
Rick Webb.
At Rick
Webb.
R-I-C-K?
No, R-I-C.
R-I-C-W-E-B-B?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to have to do a search on you and get you followed then.
Bill, your tweet with the link on there pulls it right up. So, at least for me, it works fine.
Okay.
Something to do with how they're set up too.
They have. Although one of the people that replied to me tonight, he has been able to get it in the past and wasn't able to tonight, so I'm not sure, you know, what's going on there. Arkansas Traveler, who was on Twitter, has never been able to pull it up from my tweets. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Anyway, we'll keep trying it, and I mean, you know, as long as all of us keep posting it, somebody's going to be able to hit it there, and we'll build our listenership there.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I just looked at TK. TK hasn't been on for the last 36 hours.
Right.
Hmm. Okay.
So, but yeah, usually he posts pretty much in there. You know, and I post on Twitter, and you do Twitter, so we get plenty of that.
Yep.
You know, in the big scheme of things, you know, we have a following that pops in and out.
Yep.
It's certainly not a major building thing. I would certainly like to see it do so, but I'm not. You know, this radio show, in many regards, you know, I consider it to be exactly the same thing as my blog.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
You know, it is a way for me to rant, to spew, to make my comments. But this is something that I've worked really hard with CJ on, is it is not a requirement that I have big followings on either. You know, I have no ego investment that is going to suffer greatly if I don't have 10,000 people listening to the show or reading my blog.
Mm.
You know, people are going to either read it, my blog, or listen to this show because what I say, you know, resonates with them.
Right. Right. No.
On
the other hand, though, the more people we can get to listen to it, the more people have an opportunity to have it resonate.
Absolutely true. I'm not going to, you know, deny building up the thing.
Oh yeah,
you know, or try not to do so.
Right.
But I'm also not going to. I'm not going to get crazy about needing to do so. Frankly, because I'm going to piss some people off.
Well, of course we will. But fine. I don't care.
You know what? I think we should piss some people off.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, but I'm going to, you know. All right. I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah.
I have to go anyway. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, bye, Rick. Take care. Okay, Tracy, I'm going to.
Bill, have an evening.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Have a great evening and welcome to California.
There.
Yeah, I know.
This will be the return.
You
betcha. All right, talk to you later.
Bye-bye.